It originated in China, and it also would be the first of its type in our system. There it was known as the sweet tea tree. I should add that the managers of the garden are enthusiastic about adding this tree to the heritage tree system. Next. This is a dove tree. It's located in the Crystal Springs Rhododendron Garden. It's found near the restrooms. When it's in bloom in the spring, it has spectacular large white bracts around its flowers and sometimes is even called the handkerchief tree. We do have one other such tree in our system, but this would be the first of its type in southeast Portland. I should add, too, that the society which manages the garden supports this designation. Next. This is an incense tree, cedar tree. It's located in Lone Fir Cemetery, managed by Metro. Metro has agreed to designating this as a heritage tree, as well as to the other proposals we're going to make in a moment in the cemetery. Now, we do have other examples of this native tree type in our system, but we're interested in this one because it has a rare columnar form, which you see in the left slide. It's found on the North Boundary Road, about a half a block west of Central Catholic High School. Next. Now, this is a Douglas fir. It's in Lone Fir Cemetery, and it's the one for which the cemetery was named. The tree is thought to be at least 200 years old, and it's inextricably tied to the history of Portland's Pioneer Cemetery. It's even marked with a plaque attesting to its provenance. It's on the west end of the North Road, and it is of clear historical value. Next. This is a big leaf maple. It's also in Lone Fir Cemetery. It's known as the General Lane tree. Again, there's a plaque at its base explaining that the tree was named in Lane's honor. Lane was a general in the Mexican War, came to Oregon on the Oregon Trail, was a territorial delegate to Congress, became one of Oregon's first senators, and even served as acting governor. Thus, the tree is historically important, but it's also old and it's large. We've just one other of this tree type in our system, and this is a fine one. Next. This is a Port Orford cedar. It's found on the Reed College campus near the intersection of Southeast Woodstock and Reed College Place. It's the most northwesterly of three such trees there, but of those, it's the one that has the best form and is free of damage and disease. This would be the first of this native tree in our system. It's 77 feet tall. Next. Finally, this is an American chestnut. It's on the right-of-way of a home on Northeast Prescott. It's the most westerly of the two such trees found there. It's the healthiest of the two. It's 11 feet in circumference and is about 110 years old. Now, we do have two other types of this, examples of this type of tree in our system, but this would be the first of this type in this sector of the city. I should add for those in the public that are interested, you can find more about our existing system on the website that you can Google up, and there's lots of information there, including the location of all existing trees. And that concludes my presentation. Be glad to answer any questions you may have.
First, Mr. McCluskey, I want to thank you for your outstanding presentation. And Commissioner Saltzman, who is my predecessor as the Parks Commissioner, said this was one of his favorite annual presentations, and now I know why. And since you mentioned the website, what I want to urge people to do is if you want to get a map that shows where all the heritage trees are, you can actually just type in portlandparks.org, portlandparks.org. It automatically connects to Portland Online. Click on the Nature tab, click on Urban Forestry, and then click on Heritage Trees, where you'll find a list, a map, and nomination forms for future designations. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. Appreciate it. Anyone signed up to testify on this item?
No one else signed up.
All right. Carla, would you please call the roll on, it's a non-emergency ordinance, so it moves to a second reading next week. Thank you. So done. Can you please read the title for council calendar item 1071?
That's amazing.
Direct the Water Bureau to continue to seek administrative and conventional compliance solutions for compliance with the long-term 2 enhanced surface water treatment rule LT2.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and colleagues and citizens. I want to make a couple comments and then offer an amendment. Each of us comes to our positions here from different places in life. I come from Portland, born and raised in inner northeast Portland, went to Grant High School, Irvington Grade School first, Portland State, served as an intern in the Oregon Legislature in 1975, which expanded my view beyond tiny Portland, and became a firefighter, was lucky and honored to be elected to be their president for 12 years, was honored to be picked by the Multnomah County Commission, including my dear friend Dan Saltzman, who was the third vote to serve in the state Senate, the Oregon House, and then I have had no higher honor than to serve here on the Portland City Council. And I know there are a lot of people who think of politicians that they make deals and they make payoffs and they hire consultants and the consultants meet with us in the back rooms and we hatch a deal and then we pop it on the public as though it was our idea. And of course, some of those perceptions don't happen out of paranoia. There have been examples of things like that happening. And to a certain degree, I'm not going to defend that prior to my being appointed the commissioner in charge of the Water Bureau in 2004, that exact phenomena did not happen. But when I was assigned the Bureau in 2004, one of the things I first did was meet with Floyd Jones and Regna Merritt and Scott Fernandez and a number of other advocates and listen to the concerns about those kinds of relationships in the Water Bureau and concluded that many of their concerns about improper relationships and undue influence by consulting firms were correct. As a result, you see sitting before you three managers that were not managers in 2004. I replaced the prior managers with Mike Stewart as a chief engineer, David Schaff as the director of the Water Bureau, and Eddie Campbell from a person prior to Eddie who I believed acted improperly in representing not just the Portland Water Bureau but the citizens of Portland. In fact, there are no managers on the management team today that existed in 2004 for those reasons. So I know that doesn't mean a lot to some because you're probably, even now as I say that, thinking, yeah, but. But I want to tell you from my perspective, I have directed the Water Bureau to use no consultants, specifically CH2M Hill, Montgomery Watson, or any other consultant in making recommendations to me and this council as to what is in the best interest of the water drinkers of Bull Run. As a result of their, what I will only characterize as stellar, top-notch professional work, looking at a variety of alternatives to comply with an LT2 law that each of us in this room agrees is unfair, and that we continue to fight, notwithstanding the fight that we've had up to now, including filing a lawsuit that's cost us over $1 million, the law firm of which was jointly picked by Floyd Jones, Scott Fernandez, and two people from the Water Bureau. Notwithstanding that we've spent over $1 million pursuing a variance that will continue spending money to pursue, we find ourselves in this place where if we are to meet the timelines that the feds have given us, which is April 1st, 2014, to have online a treatment system, we have to, at this point, begin planning on designing what that will be in order to be able to design it, site it, and have an up and operating by April 1st, 2014. And that is a timeline that's not negotiable. In their wisdom and in their expertise, they decided, they being the staff that you see in front of me, that building a UV plant while complying with LT2 provided no other protection. If we ever lost the Bull Run due to a catastrophic fire, which has happened about every 350 years, and the last one was 400 years ago, that a treatment system, a sand filter system, would allow us to continue drinking the Bull Run water even if we lost the whole watershed. A UV system won't do that. And while people can criticize me a lot about my politics and my way of doing what I do, I don't think anybody's ever criticized me as being a bad vote counter. I know how to count to three. And I don't have three votes to pass a sand filter system. So I have prepared an amendment that I am distributing to the council that will recommend that the council approve a UV system. Not because it's the first choice, but it does comply with LT2. It provides, as I said, no other protections, but we'll have to deal with that at the point at which that becomes an issue. And it may not be in our generation, it may be in some other generation, but that will be for them to deal with. The saddest part of me proffering this resolution is the Water Bureau's history has been one of a group of men and women who are truly visionaries, and we overuse the word visionary. If none of you have ever taken up my offer to have a guided tour of the Bull Run, and we have purchased a bus that, by the way, has a bathroom on it because that was my criteria. Anybody who knows me knows that. There's a reason why I'm Mr. Bathroom in Portland.
What fuel does it run on?
Biodiesel. You are welcome to go up and see what can only be called a treasure on Earth, and not just in Oregon or the U.S., but on Earth. It contains stands of old-growth timber that began growing 200 years before Columbus came to America. It contains the most pristine water you will ever see. And it is truly a marvel. And if there's one part that I regret is that the action that we take today is not consistent with the visionary action of prior leaders of the Water Bureau to anticipate future needs and do that which may not benefit that generation, but what they knew would benefit future generations. But again, I can count. So, Mr. Mayor, I move the amendment.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. The amendment, just to describe it, replaces any mention of sand. The phrase was a direct filtration facility and changes it to ultraviolet treatment facility. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on council. This will be the basis on which we will hear testimony. So this is a change, just for those watching and listening in. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. Commissioner Leonard?
That's the conclusion of my testimony. These gentlemen are here to answer questions. If not, we can open it up to public testimony.
Discussion from council to Water Bureau leaders. You'll stick around, obviously. How many people? Thank you very much. How many people have signed up, Carla? Four or less? Oh. We'll have a...
Carla's having a... taking a lunch break.
Carla got mad and left. Now she's going to gather
the... She wanted the sand filter system.
She wanted... Carla wanted the sand filter system and just left. No, she's getting the signature sign-up sheet. She'll be right back. Sorry.
We've got about 33 people so far.
What's that?
33 people so far. We've got
33 people.
Out there.
Okay. So if you came to testify for UV treatment... That amendment has been made, and that is what is being considered by the City Council. Because we have 33 people signed up, you can approach Carla and take your name off the list if you so choose. If you so not choose, we will listen to your testimony. With 33 people signed up, I'm also going to, unless there's objection from Council, take Chair's prerogative and ask that you limit your testimony to 2 minutes. For those of you, Floyd, who think you need 3 minutes and insist on 3 minutes, we will take 3 minutes. But we found that what can be said in 3 minutes can be said much better in 2 minutes. But we will leave that up to your judgment. Carla, would you please call the first three?
First three are, and please come on up, Scott Fernandez, Frank Gearhart, and Sherry Lambert-Holstein. They will be followed by Joe Uris, Milt Markowitz, and Steve Geiger.
Good morning. Welcome back to the City Council. We're glad you're here. The clock will be set for 2 minutes unless you want three. And Scott, why don't you start
three.
With three? Okay.
My name is Scott Fernandez, and thank you, Council, for addressing this issue. It's been many years we've been involved with this. I want to thank Commissioner Salzman for the letters he wrote early on. In inquiring about our waiver. I appreciate what the council has done today, but as I have here today, there are many things about ultraviolet radiation that I don't agree with and is shown scientifically that they do generate chemical disinfection byproducts and that are of great concern to me from public health aspect. Another thing is that we've seen throughout the industry in the United States that ultraviolet radiation is not a standalone treatment. So there are other treatments that are involved with that. And so that cost has not been incorporated into the final cost that we would be talking about. The concerns I have of any chemical additions to our water are based on public health. We've seen over the years the weight of evidence that cryptosporidium is not a problem in municipally treated drinking water in the United States. There have been no deaths from cryptosporidium in municipally treated drinking water since 1993. I also want to say that the other unfiltered water sources, such as Seattle, Boston, and New York, do have disinfection treatment plants, but those are based on 1990s court orders, the agreed orders and consent orders for them to establish a basis for addressing bacteria and other water quality problems that had nothing to do with cryptosporidium. They do not have the protected watersheds that we do. Portland is unique in that, and we need to understand that that is the best thing for us. We do not need extra treatment at all. How much time left?
You have another... minute.
Okay. I do have concerns also about the variance that I'm going to be entering into the record for, that the variance is problematic in that it does not fully identify truly what cryptosporidium are there. There are false positives that could indicate cryptosporidium being there that aren't actually there as interference from other microorganisms and other debris in the water. And I would like to finally say that in 2002, the state of California asked for a waiver in their air quality, that they wanted to have fewer chemical contaminants in their water. That request languished for 8 years, 7 years under the Bush administration. This January, a waiver was requested by the state of California to have fewer chemicals in their airshed, and that was granted just a month ago by the Obama administration. So what I'm asking for is for the city of Portland to consider doing no additional disinfection, and that would give us fewer chemicals in our water.
And your time is up. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Sir, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and commissioners. My name is Franklin Gerhardt from Gresham, Oregon. I've been with Citizens Interest in Bull Run since 1986. Thank you for allowing me to express my opinion to be entered into the record. We're opposing Resolution 1071, giving the Portland Water Bureau the green light to proceed with the filtration for the Bull Run for these reasons. Number one, the Water Bureau has not consistently pursued all the options for filtration avoidance based on 40 CFR 14171.71. Number two, the Portland Water Bureau has been planning filtration to Bull Run since, at least in my knowledge, 1989. James Montgomery Consultants were paid $1.9 million on August of 1989 for ozone treatment study. And since then, there were seven payments totaling $3.2 million to study filtration, and that was up till April 2001. However, much has been spent since that. Who knows? I don't. I guess I would say follow the money trail. And number three, the best filtration system plant will not remove all organisms from surface water. This has been documented by the American Society for Microbiology. I quote from the scientific journal Applied in Environmental Microbiology, quote, treatment plants can have removal efficiencies of parasites and still detect organisms in the finished water products. And all you got to do is get on the website, you can find plenty of cases where even the finished water, the parasite still goes through. We request the Portland City Council, on behalf of the ratepayers, stakeholders, concerned citizens, and future generations, to vote no on the resolution or table it for further dialogue with the concerned citizen groups. We present this request in all sincerity. I will gladly answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gerhardt. Appreciate it.
Thank you for briefing my staff on this.
Thank you. Carla, next three.
Joe Uris, Milt Markowitz, and Steve Geiger.
Mr. Uris, Mr. Markowitz, Mr. Geiger. Hello, Mr. Uris.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm very pleased, Randy, that you decided to go with the UV system. I'm not sure that it is the ultimate solution. I think that probably oxygenation would be less chemically invasive and probably more effective and possibly of similar cost, but that's a technical question to be worked out by staff. A little of my background, I wrote a PhD dissertation on the very corrupt city politics of the 1950s. I am pleased to say that if I were to write such a document about the present council, I don't believe, find similar levels of corruption. It is a small town, however, and opportunities do crop up here and there, and sometimes we find people moving from the public sector to the private sector in a manner that causes raised eyebrows. The city is going to, I believe now, fight hard and long and cleverly against what I essentially see as a politically punitive effort to force Portland to adopt a water system that was unnecessary. We're very gifted and very lucky to have Bull Run. And I believe that there has been this common pattern of one hand washing the other in Portland around the water issue. Assumptions of growth and densification prompted Eric Sten and others to try to make deals which would essentially give away the uniqueness of Bull Run, in fact, give away the water itself in exchange for another kind of system which might net income to the city. It would also, unfortunately, open the door to the use of Willamette and Columbia River waters in our system on the basis of the fact that such a filtration system would be adequate to meet needs. Changes in the water, which would be subtle, as one noted manufacturer of beers has pointed out, could be a cascading disaster for one major industry in the area. I think that we need to understand the crux of the matter, which is that once you destroy the uniqueness of the system, can I take another minute? The possibility of logging Bull Run becomes rational. The possibilities of a variety of changes in the system become rational. And indeed, the uniqueness and the richness of our water system becomes destroyed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I respond? Thank you, Joe, for your testimony.
Sure.
I appreciate it. And it raises a couple issues that I actually meant to say in my opening remarks that I want to say here publicly. There is not only no plans for us to ever drink the Willamette River, anybody would be absolutely crazy on the city council that would propose such a deal.
Well, knowing that you're none of you crazy, I'm very pleased.
That's kind, but I wouldn't go that far if I were you. The other thing that I want to say, because in a lot of these discussions, there's oftentimes a grain of truth. And the truth is that it's no secret, Commissioner Stinn and I were very close politically. The one thing he and I had vehement discussions and opposition about was his proposal to regionalize our water system. I told him under no uncertain circumstances I would lead a fight against that.
And well, Randy, I'm very glad to hear that.
I want to explain why, people understand why. It isn't some parochial reason that I did it because I grew up here and it's our water, blah, blah, blah. When I served in the legislature, I was appointed to a committee that dealt with water issues. I knew nothing about water. I thought water was not a problem. What's the problem? You go into the kitchen, you turn on the faucet, there's water. You need to take a shower, you turn on the faucet, you take a shower. Why do people get upset about water? The most impactful lesson I learned in the Oregon legislature is, and this is just in the state of Oregon, and I'm not even talking about more arid states, is that there are parts of the state that do not have enough water and will never have enough water. And it causes wars, it causes hard feelings, it causes people to lose jobs, it causes people grief that I was unaccustomed to. And then I learned in this committee about water rights, something I never really understood. Portland has the water rights to Bull Run. It would be a criminal act, in my view, for us to ever compromise our water rights, as egalitarian as it would be to share with the region those water rights. And if I didn't oppose it, whoever succeeded me, I promise, would oppose it. I'm actually working with my staff to prepare a proposal we will bring to the council that will put before the voters an amendment to prohibit the city from ever diluting our water rights by sharing them with any other community. And I want everybody to understand that.
That's great.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Gears. Mr. Markowitz.
Thank you, members of the council, particularly Randy Leonard. Last Friday, I took the bus up to the Bull Run, and it was it was an incredible experience.
Did you notice the bathroom on it?
I did notice the bathroom. I used the bathroom on it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Regna Merritt, who's here today and is the director of Oregon Wild, filled us in on the EPA directive and the various arguments being considered by the Portland City Council. There was considerable talk of compliance and economic choices. That's basically what the conversation was about. And I was feeling and I expressed quite a bit of dissonance with this whole conversation. And I had to question, why did I feel such dissonance? How might I frame the situation differently than what I just heard? The framing I just heard was one of dominion, in the sense that we're going to fix or improve nature's way of purifying water. Since my worldview centers largely around sustainability and my understanding from the work of Buzz Hollins and other scientists who studied large systems throughout the world and wrote a book called Panarchy, every attempt by man to control natural systems has been a failure. And what we must learn is to flow with the natural systems. As our tour continued, I heard a great deal about the wisdom and common sense of the leaders who over generations had planned, implemented, and protected the pristine source of our water and the system by which it brought that water to us. Their wisdom was the recognition of the life-giving force of water and nature's way of maintaining its purity. In essence, they developed systems that complemented our natural water system. The challenge as leaders is to continue to adopt the wise and common sense way to help others understand what being sustainable is all about. It's being in harmony with the Earth's capacity to renew and to heal and to cleanse. And our Bull Run water system is a classic example of a right way to be on this planet. Let me just have about 15 seconds. This way of being mustn't be overwhelmed with politics, such as the EPA decision or economic alternatives that are going to exacerbate our problems. Instead, what I'd like to see is for Portland and hopefully other communities with similar foresight and natural systems are examples for every community and offer our wisdom and expertise to help other communities in a common quest for making healthy water available to everyone on the planet. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Markowitz. Mr. Greyer.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commission, for hearing me. My name is Steve Geiger, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Wildlife Federation, not to be confused with Oregon Wild. We're actually Oregon's oldest environmental group, and some of you may have noticed the bus named Cool parked out in front of City Hall yesterday. We use that bus to get people out to the forest to try to help protect it and also our water. I know Randy noticed it because I want to thank you, Randy. And instead of when he saw the pitchforks slinking in the back way, Randy came out front and stood there in the heat for a good 20 to 30 minutes talking with us, and that's the type of stand-up action from my commissioner. I appreciate and respect, Randy. Thank you. I also appreciate your work with Senator Merkley on the variance, although it's very disturbing to hear Barbara Boxer say this is dead on arrival. It's got zero chance of getting out of my committee, so it almost seems like the money spent on this is wasted. But I have to respectfully disagree with you, Randy, when you told us we were at the wrong building and you pointed us to go across the street. I think we're in the right building.
Federal building, make that clear.
Yes. Yeah. I think we're in the right building. Yeah. Some of us may not be in the right building, and I guess we'll figure that out sooner or later, but I think we're in the right building. And, you know, there was a time in this town when we had a mayor and a commission who didn't throw up their hands when the federal government tried to lay down the hammer. And I think of Tom Potter with the Portland Terrorism Task Force. He spent a lot of political capital and took a lot of personal risk to stand up to the federal government on that issue. And this issue is going to take that type of commitment and integrity from this council and this mayor to not just throw up your hands and surrender to the federal government. This is something, this is what Portlanders elected you for, and this is what we expect. And I hope every one of you will consider that before just throwing up your hands and saying there's nothing we can do here. You can be strong advocates, and Randy suggested that he would join us with a sign when it came time to go in front of the federal building, and I'll hold you to that, Randy. But I'm hoping that each one of you really, really consider this image, this issue, and don't just surrender to the fact, oh, well, there's nothing we can do. You can take a strong stand, and you can be very vocal and be advocates on this issue to resist this, and I hope each one of you will. Thank you.
And I hate, sorry to be so wordy today, but these are issues we've worked on for a decade here, and so I want to make sure that...
is that a lucky rock?
Sorry,
can I have it?
Yeah.
just for a bit.
You can have it.
I want to assure you that we have not given up. Senator Merkley has been a fabulous partner. I mean, we appreciate our entire delegation, but he has truly been a breath of fresh air. He calls me weekly, unannounced, just to give me briefings about what he's doing. We continue to work vigorously and have staff assigned full-time to develop the criteria that the EPA is telling us we need to meet to get a variance. And we will spend whatever amount of money that takes and use whatever amount of political influence we have in Washington to get us the best shake possible. So we aren't by no means giving up.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Carla, the next three.
Are Damian Shaquin, Gilly Burlingham, and Regna Merritt.
And I just want to add a... While the next speakers are coming up, I just want to add a little personal testimony. It's not that Capitol Hill Security.
Probably said it wrong.
Commissioner Leonard, do you want to hear this? I think.
Sorry.
It's not that Capitol Security was actually called to Senator Smith's office to remove us, but largely Commissioner Leonard. It's that they came very close to doing so 4 or 5 years, long time ago.
It was 4 years ago.
4 years ago when Commissioner Leonard and I were making the rounds yet again to the D.C. offices of our federal delegation and also the regulatory agencies on this matter. But the conversation and the advocacy on our behalf by Commissioner Leonard became so heated because he was so adamant in Senator Smith's office. Senator Smith was not there, but his staff was there. And we were so, I would say, underwhelmed with the response that Commissioner Leonard fought and wouldn't give up during that 45 minutes to an hour, which to the senator's staff must have seemed like weeks. We've been fighting on this issue a long time. I personally have been lobbying. I think every member of the city council has personally lobbied to the regulatory agencies or our delegation at one time or another. So I just want to reassure folks, this has been a priority issue for us for a very long time. We actually were fighting two federal regulations, and we'll continue to. We have to. So I think, were you first, I believe?
I believe that. Who's first?
Why don't you go ahead, sir?
Okay. My name is Damian Chackman. I am from the Lentz Neighborhood Association. And I'm going to start with ladies and gentlemen of the City Council. While it is always good to see you, I am unable to say that it is a pleasure to be here today. I come here before you to speak about the Bull Run watershed. We are at a crossroads with this issue. The EPA is saying to us that we do not have control of our water, nor the intelligence to decide what we want. Is Portland a petulant child that just wants what it wants? Our water is among the most pristine in not only the country, but the world. But that isn't good enough for the EPA that is looking out for us. This is the same EPA that just approved raw sewage to be dumped in the ocean by San Diego where people swim. Where is the concept of caring there? I'm here to say to you all that the citizens of Portland do not want this filtration system. The citizens of Portland do not want draconian edicts by governmental agencies that are working to their own ends and not working for the people, meaning the EPA, not this council. The purpose of the EPA is to protect the environment. How an encroachment into Bull Run protect the environment? We, according to the EPA, need protection from things that do not live in our water. The tests have been run and rerun, and every person here on the council, as well as the people here in Portland, knows that the water we receive needs no filtration. Filtering the water would actually put chemicals into it that are absolutely horrible for people who drink it. Check the chemicals that are used, metallic sulfates, chlorine dioxide, and more. I have seen the reports on detrimental effects of the chemicals used in the filtration process. The EPA standard for the allowable limits of these chemicals is based on a 150-pound person. Check this for yourself. What happens when it is a 60-pound child drinking the water or a pregnant mother drinking the water? These chemicals will be in the water that, at this time, is chemical-free, have been proven to cross the placental barrier. There is evidence of damage to the immune system of children, brain, hormone system. The list goes on. Physicians for the Social Responsibility, may I have the last minute?
Sure. Are you testifying against filtration, though?
Filtration in all forms.
Oh, okay.
Countless businesses and even yourselves are against this project. What more will it take to make this stop? We cannot just fall into a position of apathy and resignation. The Water Department is at this time gearing up for LT2 projects that will equal out to almost $800 million. 40% of the Water Department's current budget is debt repayment. How much bigger of a hole will we go into to accomplish these unnecessary projects? It has been said not to mistake activity for accomplishment. This is certainly true with the Bull Run Treatment Facility. I charge the Portland City Council to act in accordance with the ideals of the republic in which we live. You are the representatives of the people of Portland. You are tasked by taking the very jobs that you have to fight for all the people of Portland. The people of Portland have spoken. They do not want filtration plants. They do not want to be saddled with $800 million in new bills. They do not want potentially heinous chemicals put into their water. With that, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Ms. Burlingame.
Yeah, Gilly Burlingame. I never thought I'd be obsessed by the environment again after 15 years in Western New York and working on a lot of issues. By the way, I've actually for the first time sent something written to you all. So, and I never say the same thing as I write anyway. I've been obsessed by this, and I can hardly wait for today to be over because I'm gonna have to rest. I am a journalist manque. I research, and I only meet deadlines. I sent my thing in to you at 7 o'clock this morning. Since I have seen you, I have been to Bull Run. I went with the Oasis group. It's fabulous. And Lauren, our bus driver, he was in charge of Bull Run. And Briggy, the educator, is fabulous. Everybody should go on that trip. I came back more passionate than ever. But the thrust of my argument is, why waste your time with Congress or waivers? I know the arguments about why we're not going to get waivers. We have a new government. We have a new head of the EPA. If she takes a good hard look at the LT2 rule, I think it'll be out. And that is what I really think. I mean, if I've actually called Lois Gibbs, and as soon as she comes back from vacation, she's one of the best strategists I know, the Love Canal heroine, who's worked with 3,500 grassroots groups around the country. And when she comes back, she's going to give me some good strategy, but I think this is it. If you all talk to the new head of the EPA, I think she would listen and look. Thank you.
We'll do it. Thank you.
Oh, and I have a book for you, Bottle Mania. I highly recommend it.
Great.
It's fabulous read.
Thank you. Can I just say something? You mentioned the vehicles of the Water Bureau, but some of you may not know that during the winter emergency, storm emergency over Christmas, when there were hundreds of homeless individuals at risk living on the street and dealing with one of the worst storms we ever had, employees of the Water Bureau volunteered their time to drive those buses and to shuttle homeless people from a downtown location to shelters throughout the city. And it was one of the most incredible things I've ever witnessed.
I remember reading about that because, unfortunately, when I got here, totally depressed from the environmental activism, what did I encounter here but homelessness and affordable housing? That's really depressing.
Ms. Merritt.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council members. For over a century, the Portland area has enjoyed some of the finest drinking water in the world and saved hundreds of millions of dollars in the process. It's all thanks to our Bull Run watershed, the source of our clean, pure water. Today, the century of protection is still on the line, and a purity of our drinking water could still go down the drain. The long-term to enhance treatment, surface water treatment rule, as you've stated, is a one-size-fits-all approach to managing municipal drinking water across the nation. It's a regulation intended to protect consumers who drink from watersheds, unlike Portland's, that are polluted with human sewage and waste from cows. In January of 2005, the Portland City Council committed to pursue alternative forms of compliance with this rule, compliance that would avoid intensive treatment of the water. The current resolution proposed by the Bureau represents a departure from the strategy and may make it more likely that our water will be treated in the future. The resolution that was introduced today is a huge step in the right direction, and I want to thank you all for going that far. But it would still eliminate any possibility of future relief from Congress to avoid the onerous obligations of the rule. I think we should leave the legislative option in our toolbox. It might not be the one we're concentrating on right now, but I don't think we should ever take it out of there completely. The resolution doesn't address the design, the location of a plant, and doesn't give the city council enough control over this final decision about where, when, and how we're going to go with an alternative treatment if the variance process fails. I really like the Oregonian editorial this morning. I think it provides an elegant solution. And I'd be happy to help work on a alternative. I think we could come together over with the common sense with a few quick changes to this. So I'd encourage you to not vote on the verbiage in this, but work with us quickly to find an alternative that most all of us could agree on. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Merritt. Appreciate both your testimony. Carla?
Next three are Betsy Cole, Aaron Kessley, and Sherry Lambert-Holstein.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Poll? Ms. Poll?
Yes.
I just typed it, so let them go first.
I'm Betsy Toll, and thank you for giving the full attention that you are to this matter because it is so crucial. And I'm sorry Commissioner Leonard left the room because I just last week had the opportunity to tour Bull Run, and it is indeed magnificent. And re-inspired my commitment to the importance, the significance of the issue of ensuring that we protect this watershed and we protect our sovereignty and our autonomy to determine what is best for water consumers here in Portland, Oregon, particularly as climate change and population increase. The demands for water escalate, which we know they will in the coming decades. Honoring the commitment that our predecessors have demonstrated, that Portlanders have shown for 125 years, honoring that determination to protect pure, pristine water is our guarantee into the future on the sustainability of our region. I am glad to see that Commissioner Leonard counted votes, but I really hope the commission considers the first priority to be pursuing that variance. Because if we say, well, okay, we'll do UV, not a problem, then there's no reason for EPA to give a variance, and there is no incentive for council to continue pursuing a variance. So I would like you to sort of take that off your plate, that what you are charged to do for the citizens of Portland and consumers of Bull Run Water is continue to seek that variance and get that variance. Because, as was pointed out in earlier testimony, variances can be achieved, and Bull Run is certainly an excellent candidate to have that variance.
Thank you. We agree. Sir.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to address the City Council on this matter. Though I've been familiar with the unique protections of the Bull Run watershed my entire life, I was first introduced to the LT2 compliance issue at the June 23rd City Council work session. Since then, I have spent the majority of my time attempting to gain an understanding of this issue, and one thing is certain, it is as complex as it is divisive. Looking at this from the perspective of a younger generation of Portlanders, several troubling thoughts come to my mind. I worry about the additional financial burdens that an expensive treatment plant will put not only on Portland's residents, but the commercial customers as well. I worry about the introduction of additional chemicals and what effect it will have on the overall water quality. And I worry about the environmental effects that the proposed treatment plant will have on the Bull Run watershed. While I acknowledge that the time constraints placed upon the city by the EPA, I urge all of you to carefully consider any decisions regarding the potential effect of the affordability and drinkability of Portland's water. And finally, I urge you all to continue to aggressively pursue an administrative variance from the EPA and to continue to support Senator Merkley in this matter. And I would like to add that I am very happy to hear that Commissioner Leonard acknowledges the citizens' concerns over the regionalization issue. That's definitely one of the main issues that came to my mind when I first encountered this issue, and it pleases me that the City Council recognizes that this is of great concern. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Good afternoon, or good morning.
Chair Lambert-Holstein, dear council members, from my understanding, we qualify for a waiver under Federal Code 40 CFR 141.71 of the Clean Water Act, and we meet the three criteria for avoidance. I have questions for you. Did any of you attend those hearings in Washington? Anyone from the Water Bureau? Where are the records from those hearings? Have you made those available to the public? Was the Clean Water Act Federal Code rule addressed in the lawsuit? If not, why not? And why is this hearing being held on the hottest day possibly on record? It shows utter contempt for the citizens of Portland. The history of our Water Bureau and City Council has been one of neglect and greed. The infamous Water Bureau memo of 1952, blessedly leaked by a Karen employee, stating, "The people of Portland view Bull Run water as sacred, and we have a tremendous public relations job to do to inform the public." It was all about logging, and so we had to warn the public of the danger of fire. Fear works very well. The Trespass Act of over 100 years ago forbid human entry unless water concerned. In 1977, the Bull Run watershed consisted of over 142,000 acres. It was our third district congressman, Robert Duncan, who convinced Congress to give away one-third of our Bull Run watershed. Where was our city council in alerting the public to this? It was the Water Bureau's own Joe Glicker who slandered Doug Larson, a renowned limologist, who, may I have another minute, please? I've been in this fight a long time.
You can have another minute and a half.
Thank you. I was chief petitioner in 1997-1998 when the Portland City Council unanimously voted in November 11, 1996 to go with the Regional Water Supply Plan, which said that our next increment of drinking water would be the Collingwood, Clackamas, and or Willamette. You've been wanting us to drink Willamette River water for a long time. It was the Water Bureau's own Joe Glicker who slandered Doug Larson, a limologist, opposing the Water Bureau's methods. Doug Larson successfully sued the city. Joe Glicker and Ed Tierney of the Water Bureau also went through the revolving door and became consultants. You have a huge banner outside advertising I don't know what. Why is there not a huge banner advertising the water treatment plant hearing today? Why is there, don't you believe the public have a right to be informed? Some of the over 100 people that I called knew about the proposed treatment plant, but only two or three knew about the hearing today. Why wasn't the public informed? This is their water. This will double their water rates and add chemicals to their water. A friend of mine has had 9 brain tumor operations since the age of 19. He takes prescription drugs so he can be, what would these added chemicals do to his brain? Mr. Saltzman, you have a youth treatment program that the public supports after school, and thank you for that. Where's your concern for the youth in this area? What would these added chemicals do to their little bodies? Portland is at the top of the unemployed, the top of the homeless per capita, and the top of our sewer rates. But you plan to additionally burden these people already on the edge with doubled water cost. A young man I know disabled living in government housing in the Northwest told me that the tenants have been asked to cut back on their water usage. They live in dinky little apartments. They're just tiny.
Ma'am, I need you to start wrapping up.
This treatment plan is a disaster in the making. Your pretense of virtue obliges you to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a false premise. You hold positions of trust and authority, which gives you power. Please use that power to save or protect our water. Thank you.
Thank you for your work on this issue and all of you for your testimony this morning. Carla, the next three.
Are Bob Solinger, John Eccles, and Diane Tweeten. They'll be followed by Sergi Vrabek, Nancy Matila, and Christine Lewis.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Mr. Solinger.
Good morning. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. First off, I want to thank you for the proposed amendment. It's definitely a step in the right direction, but first and foremost, I want to urge you to keep fighting on the variance. The amendment shouldn't be necessary. We should be able to avoid this altogether. To the degree that it is necessary, we hope that you'll avoid doing anything actually in the Bull Run watershed. Any sort of treatment should occur outside. I think it's kind of unique that you have this parade of environmentalists before you today urging you to avoid EPA mandates. I haven't seen this very often, but in this case, I think it's a very important issue. And those EPA mandates are important. They're there to protect us, but they have to be applied with common sense. And in this case, that's clearly not the case. There's a really important principle at stake here, a philosophical principle. The EPA needs to do more than pay lip service to the idea of protecting green infrastructure. If you read their documents, they talk continually about the need to protect our natural resources as a way to avoid these kinds of situations. If they're serious about that, they need to reward communities for investing in green infrastructure, not penalize them. And they should be holding up the Bull Run watershed as a shining example to other municipalities of how you can avoid these kinds of costs if you do the right thing in the first place. We have an unfortunate example already of a situation where we lost this kind of a battle with the big pipe. There was a proposal 10 years ago to do a smaller pipe, take slightly longer, and invest $100 million in green infrastructure. The whole thing would have been much less expensive if we had done that. Unfortunately, the EPA didn't sign off on that, and I would say we're in a much worse shape than we would be if they had agreed. I think it speaks to the importance of continuing to study and document the value of ecosystem services, and I applaud the mayor for his Create a Green initiative, which is doing exactly that. The more documentation we have, the better off we'll be in these situations in the future. I want to pledge to you Audubon's full support as you seek this variance. Whatever we can do to help, we're happy to do. And I think, you know, we can make the case that we'd be far better off if we're going to spend the money not spending it on filtration, but rather spending it to continue to enhance the protections at Bull Run or to invest in green infrastructure and other potential future water sources. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Salinger. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm John Eccles, lifelong citizen of Portland, Oregon, and I love our water. I've also visited many cities in America, many of our fine cities, and have never tasted water as refreshing and as pure as our own. I take great pride in telling people of that, particularly people in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm better known as president of the Eastside Democratic Club, and I am proud to say on behalf of the club that we have written our delegation requesting legislative relief for our open reservoirs and our Bull Run source water. This is a very important issue to you, and you've spoken well with a positive direction. We must stand and fight. We must stand and resist people from outside our area determining what we will drink and the quality of our life. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Diane Tweeten. Much is known since 2002 when these discussions first began, and the filtration plan is being proposed because it is more beneficial to the city than other treatment alternatives, even though it costs more than UV. I would like to believe it's about protection. There are many good people at the EPA, but exemptions are granted to some in various ways by those at the top. The EPA had concluded that asbestos is a potential carcinogen at all levels of exposure, and yet the court system ruled in favor of the asbestos companies in overturning the ban unless an economic alternative was found. It remained unregulated in 3,000 products. In 2001, there was a debate at the EPA about permitted arsenic levels in water and cancer rates. Just as they were about to tighten the standards, they stopped and said it would be too expensive for drinking water providers to comply with. A toxic site on the Willamette leaking PCBs in 2001 had been known about by state and federal agencies for 5 years. The same year, 7 people died from cryptosporidium in Canada who were drinking from a plant like the one in Wilsonville. It got into the water when the plant was undergoing routine maintenance. It's only a matter of time before human error will allow untreated water to pass. I believe this will make blending possible beyond the control of individual commissioners. Nature is on the job 24/7 and doesn't care about economics. As long as we respect her, as we have for over 100 years, she will continue to do it. In 2003, Portland's water and sewer rates were the second highest. I don't see how the public can pay for this and how this debt won't force us into relationship with agencies who are currently using 40% of the water and only pay 20% of the costs, according to a former PERB representative. If we are forced into this, then logic and true cooperation for the greater good has failed, and we will have become the democracy of because we said so.
Thank you for your testimony, each of you. Thank you. Carla, how many do we have left?
We have about 25 more people left.
Please call the next three.
Next three are, Sergey Frebeck, Nancy Matila, and Christine Lewis. And they'll be followed by Brad Lazzolino, Steve Gerlopes, I believe is the last name, and Stephanie Stewart.
Mr. Frebeck, welcome.
Good morning. I'd like to say I'm grateful for your audience. I'm also grateful for the votes against the filtration system. That was my main reason for coming, so I'm relieved. I support keeping our water the same way that it was. I'd like to say a couple of things. Everybody's pretty much mentioned already, so for once I'm kind of out of words. But I also believe that the EPA is being restructured because of the economy, et cetera. There's been a lot of delays, and I think a lot of the